This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Today, I want to talk about, we're starting a new series. Look at somebody say, new series. We're going to talk about something that's kind of cultural taboo sometimes. We're going to talk about dealing with your demons. Dealing with your demons. And I think it's important for us to talk about this because we're living in a time, we're living in a day and age, and we're in a month where people want to talk about the supernatural. People want to talk about the demonic realm, and people are playing oftentimes with something that they don't completely understand. And so I think the church needs to have a response for that. Amen. If the world has something to say about the demonic realm, should the church not have something to say that's even more profound? And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. What does the Word of God say about dealing with demons? How do we approach that from a biblical perspective? And I want to take you to Matthew 8 and 9. I want to take about six scriptures from Matthew 8 and Matthew 9, and I want to lay a foundation for this series because I don't want to just talk about something just to talk about it in church. I want it to be something that we can walk out of here and it helps to make what we do more productive in our lives. The Bible is a book full of things that God has given us that makes our life more successful, more productive. Amen? So I want to give you six things to know about dealing with your demons. Six things to know about dealing with demons. Matthew 8:16. We'll go there. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed the sick. Notice when the demons were brought to him. They were brought to him at night. There's something to be said about the night time. The first thing that we need to know is we live in a dark time. We live in a dark time. We look on the news. We see the movies. We see the TV shows that are going on. We live in a dark age. And oftentimes, this is where the demonic realm prospers, is when there is darkness. Not just night, I'm talking about ignorance. The Bible symbolism, it's interchangeable when we talk about darkness or we talk about ignorance and wickedness. But specifically, ignorance is where the demonic realm really wreaks havoc. They do their greatest damage in environments where people don't understand who they are and what they're doing. So the first thing, if you don't want to be harassed by demons in your life, is don't be ignorant. Look at somebody and say, don't be ignorant. This is important because far too often we're educated by TV and movies and books that we read and Harry Potter, and we think that we understand things about magic and about the demonic realm. But unless we crack open the Word of God, we don't even begin to understand the truth of the supernatural. So the first thing is, if you don't want to be harassed by the demonic realm, is be knowledgeable. Be knowledgeable. Our culture plays with the supernatural. Our culture is interested in the supernatural, but they oftentimes misunderstand it. Without the Word of God, it is difficult, it is impossible to understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. The demonic realm is real and it poses the greatest threat to those that live in ignorance. If you know who you are in God, if you know what the Word of God says, the demonic realm doesn't pose a threat to you. But it poses a threat to people that do not know the Word of God and do not know their position in God. So number one is we live in a dark age. Number two, Matthew 8:28 says, when Jesus arrived on the other side, somebody say other side. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and they were so violent that no one could go through that area. Anybody ever met somebody that you said, man, that person's got to have something on them, because it's just, these two men, they were doing things that were not just crazy. It was like, it was wicked. It was dark. It was violent. It says, but I want you to grab a hold of this. When Jesus crossed over to the other side, he finished his ministry on one side and he began a new chapter, a new ministry, a new town. He was met with a new demonic challenge. Immediately, these demon-possessed men met him at that side. So what is number two? Number two is new level, new devil. New level, new devil. When you start to do something new in God, when you start a new chapter of your life, when you begin to move into greater things in your spiritual walk, expect to be challenged by the enemy. Expect that the enemy is going to have some type of strategy against your life, and that's going to come in the form of some type of demonic assignment against you. New level, new devil. When you're playing a video game, come on, amen. I know we got some gamers in the room. When you're playing a video game and you go up to the next level, do you have the same amount of warfare or do you have a greater opponent? When you go to the next boss level, do you have a greater opponent or a less opponent? When we start a new chapter of our lives, when we start a new season of our ministry, when we start a new time, we have to expect that the enemy is going to try something. Because that's what he does. And when you become a greater threat to the enemy, he is going to unleash a greater attack on your life. New level, new devil. Look at somebody and tell them, new level, new devil. I don't say that to make you afraid. Just say that to make you aware. Because if you're aware, you can be prepared. Amen. So that's number two. Number three, Matthew 8:31 says, and this is following the same, these two men. It says, so talking about the demons. So the demons begged. The demons, somebody say the demons begged. The demons begged, if you cast us out, please send us into the herd of pigs. I want you to notice who is begging here. Is Jesus begging? No. Jesus is not begging. If we are in the image of Christ Jesus, if we were created in the image of God, should we be begging spirits to do anything? Jesus is not begging. The spirits, the demons, are begging. Jesus is commanding. The demons are begging. So when you walk like you're supposed to walk, when you live like Jesus, when you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, you're not begging, you're speaking in authority. Amen. And that's not just in your life. That's not just in those that are around you. These were two complete strangers. And Jesus spoke into their lives and said, leave now. He commanded, they begged. The demons don't have authority over you. It's you that has the authority over demons. I want you to remember that, because in the midst of all these horror movies that you see and crazy stuff, and you have the authority. You have been given the authority. Jesus gave us the authority. And if you've given your life to Jesus, you're hidden in him. So that means any attack against your life is illegal. If you've given your life to Jesus, then you belong to Jesus. Therefore, any satanic attack against your life is illegal. It's when we walk in the knowledge of God that we're able to stand up and we're able to speak with authority and say, that's illegal. That is not allowed. And we put our foot down and we speak in authority. We do not beg spirits. We command spirits like Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them, you have the authority. As believers, we should not walk around afraid. We should not walk around worried about spirits. We should not walk around in fear. We should walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. And this is important because what you focus on, you will become. The Bible even says what you fear most will come upon you. So oftentimes, even though a person is a believer, when they begin to focus on that fear, it overtakes them. That's why I don't watch horror movies. Some stuff, you have to know what you're supposed to be involved in and what you're not supposed to be involved in. Because I'm not going to focus on things that are going to cause me for fear to be amplified, for me to give power to fear in my life. Sometimes, because we focus on the wrong things, we're not focused on the authority that God has given us. We're not focused on the power that God has given us. We let fear overrun our lives. But you have the authority. Look at somebody. Just tell them one more time. You have the authority. That's number three. We're laying the groundwork. These are the ground rules. Number four, spiritual attacks are never convenient. Have you ever noticed this in your life? Just when you're tired, you're exhausted, you think you're done with the work for the day, that's when the spirits act up. Sometimes it's spirits in somebody acting up and causing you a problem when you're completely exhausted. Let's take it to the word, Matthew 9:32. When they left, somebody say, when they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. Another translation, Matthew 9:32 says, while they were going out. So that means Jesus was done with the ministry work that he was doing. And when he was leaving, then somebody was brought and they were acting up and they had spirits. It's not going to come when you're prayed up, when you're coming from church and you're feeling good and you're strong in your faith. It's not going to come then. Spiritual attack is going to come when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you're on your last nerve, when you just got done arguing with your wife. That's when the spiritual attack is going to come. When your kids are just, and you just want some peace and quiet, that's when the spiritual attack comes. The demonic situation always, it never comes at a convenient time. It tries to catch you off guard. Demons try to catch you when you're not expected. This is why Jesus told us in Matthew 26:4, keep watch and pray. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. The temptation to be angry, right? To lose your cool, completely blow up, right? So that you will not give in to temptation. Lust. So you will not give in to temptation. Watch and pray. Jesus told us. This is important because spiritual attacks are never convenient. Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And oftentimes in the Bible, what we see is the heart represents the emotional realm. And if the enemy can catch you when you're off balance in your emotions, he has an open door. You're already upset in your flesh, in your emotions. That's an open door for the enemy. We're exhausted. We're tired. We're frustrated. It can be an open door. It's an invitation now for a spirit of heaviness to come on us when we're frustrated and we're tired, right? When we're already angry, we can leave a door open for a spirit of anger. Spirit of rage, right? When we're kind of going through a moment and we're just kind of sad in our emotional realm, there's a door open for a depression, spirit of depression, right? Spirit of sadness. And so we have to be aware and stay on our guard. Proverbs 4:23, guard your hearts above all else. I'm trying to tell you how to keep the authority that Jesus gave you. Because in the very beginning, even before Jesus came, God gave Adam the authority. And he lost it. Look at somebody say, don't be like Adam. Be like Jesus. See, Adam lost it and God had to send Jesus. So Jesus, get it back and give it back to us. The authority is yours. Don't let the devil wreak havoc on your emotions. Get you off balance in your emotions. Because he wants to leave a door open. Stay on guard. Stay ready. Stay prayed up. Number five. What's number five? Matthew 9:33 said, so Jesus cast out the demon. And then the man began to speak. And the crowds were amazed. Number five is deliverance is amazing. Ever seen anybody get like free, like really free? It's amazing. It's like they have a new lease on life. They're walking out free, lighter. Deliverance is amazing. And if you've seen it done and you've seen it done right, you're like, wow, that's powerful. God is powerful. This is real. It's amazing. And so Jesus cast out the spirit from this man and the crowd is amazed. The world does not possess the answer to its supernatural problem. The church does. There is a supernatural problem going on in the earth. There's a demonic problem that we have the solution to. You have the solution. I have the solution to the demonic problem. And Jesus amazed the world with his solution. Jesus amazed the world that he was able to set the captives free. And if Jesus amazed the world, he wants us to amaze the world with the power of setting people free. You don't have to get religious with it. But understand your assignment and my assignment is to set people free. There are people all around us, people in our family. There are friends that we have, co-workers that we have that are in bondage. Some know it. Some have perceived it. Some think maybe there's something that's bigger than a natural thing that's going on in my life. Some may not know what it's going on. They're just getting beat up by life. They don't realize there's spirits involved. We have the ability to set the captives free. Point at your chest and say, I have the ability through Christ to set the captives free. John 14:12. Let me just solidify this point for us. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. This is something that I pray every day. I say, God, I say, Jesus, I want to do the same works that you did and greater works. I want people in our church to do the same works that you did and greater works. Because that's what you want. God, that's what I want. So who does that tell us should be able to cast out a spirit? Anyone that believes. Anyone that believes in Jesus. It says that Jesus says, anyone who believes in me will be able to cast out spirits. You don't have to go to school for that. You don't need a special title for that. You don't need a special anointing oil on your forehead for that. If you believe in Jesus, you will do the same works and greater. That's what he says. And the world will be amazed. And people will come to Christ because of the power they see that sets men and women free. When people see what God is doing through you to set people free, it will stir up interest. It will stir up love for Christ. People will say, man, if God was that good to do that for that person, man, I want to know that God. I want to know the God that sets people free. People don't want to know a God that's just steeped in religion and tradition. They want to know a God that sets them free.
people that have been bound by poverty and year after year and generation after generation, that God can step in and break poverty in people's lives. That God can step in and break health conditions that are flowing in people's lives over years and over generations. People are interested in a God that sets people free. And it doesn't have to look like you've seen somebody else do it, but it needs to look like Jesus showing you. And it starts with a simple command. Jesus gave, it said, a simple command. When you've prayed and you're prayed up, you don't have to do a long prayer over somebody. Did you see how long that Jesus' prayer was when the two men approached him? He said, go. It was not a 30-minute prayer. He said, go. And they said, okay, but before we go, can we just like ask for some, you know, special consideration here? He said, go. The world is looking for something. Can I tell you today, the world is looking for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope that they're going to be set free. Christ in you, the hope that sets captives free. That's what people are looking for. The power to set men free. And when they look at you and me, they should see hope, which is the very spirit of Christ. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. When people see us, they should see hope. Because they know something powerful is going to happen. They may not know exactly what's going to happen, but they know hope just showed up. They know that the Spirit of Christ just showed up. They know that the Spirit of deliverance just showed up. And whatever's on their life is about to be broken. When I show up and I see people in bondage, I get excited because I'm about to dispense hope. I'm about to dispense the delivering power of Jesus Christ that breaks down every chain, that breaks down every stronghold, that sets men free. That's the kind of God I serve. We shouldn't come to be religious. We should come to have power and have authority to change the world around us. That's what people are looking for. And when they see us, they should see hope for getting out of the bondage that they're in. That's what I want people to see when they see me, when they see you, when they see us, is to see hope that they're going to get out of the bondage that they're in right now. Because when Jesus showed up, the demons trembled. And demons still tremble at the name of Jesus. When you know how to use the name of Jesus, bondage will be broken over people's lives when you know how to use the name of Jesus. I want to tell you today, I have been authorized to use the name of Jesus. I have been authorized and I have been deputized to use the name of Jesus against anything that holds men in bondage and holds women in bondage. You have been authorized. Number six, you might not expect this one, but deliverance will be criticized. There's always going to be critics. Listen, let's go to the word. You will be criticized. Deliverance will be criticized. Matthew 9:34 says, this is at the same time as the crowds are amazed. At the same time. As the crowds are amazed, very next verse. But the Pharisees said, he can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of the demons. So immediately after Jesus sets somebody free And the crowds are amazed. The critics step up and start talking. Anybody ever just experienced some criticism in your life when you were trying to do something good and you were trying to step up and help somebody and then you heard the critic just step up and talk? Can I tell you, if Jesus had critics, you're going to have critics. I'm going to have critics. It's okay. In this world, there will be a crowd and there will be critics. There will be a crowd and there will be critics. Says the Pharisees. And let me tell you something. Whether you're inside the church or outside the church, there's Pharisees. Because Pharisees are basically just people that are steeped in tradition. Whether you're steeped in the tradition of the church or you're steeped in the tradition of man, there's Pharisees out there that want to criticize what you're doing. They want to do whatever they can to rationalize and explain away what just happened. That's okay. This ain't for them. If they don't want it, it's not for them. The crowds were amazed. You will be criticized. Jesus had it. You and I will have it. Some people are going to be so blessed. Some people are going to be set free. Some people are going to witness it and say, man, praise God. Some people are going to see it and say, I was sitting on the fence, but now I know that God is real. And other people, not going to get with it. They'll figure out a reason. That's not right. That's fake. They'll figure out a reason to not believe. There are all kinds of people that need deliverance in our world. There's all kinds of people around us that God has allowed to be around us that need what you have, the power to set men free. Whether it's possession, whether it's oppression, or whether it's just demonic harassment, you have the ability to set people free. God has given us the power to deal with demons. Mark 16:17. Jesus said, these signs, somebody say signs. These signs will follow those that believe. And he starts off with, in my name, they will cast out demons. This is going to be a sign that you're a believer. Demons are going to run from you. This is going to be a sign that you are a believer. You're going to speak a command and demons are going to come up out of people. Family members that have been harassed by spirits, wickedness. You're going to speak the word and demons are going to run. You are the answer to someone's bondage. You are the answer to someone that's getting harassed. It's the faith and the authority in you that's going to set someone free. Jesus gave us this authority. And Jesus expects us to help others and set others free. It's not just a thing for a handful of us. It's a thing for all of us to walk in. Could you imagine if there's just a handful of us in this room that are able to cast out spirits? We're not going to get around to too many people. But if we work together as the body of Christ, what can happen? How much can we touch the world around us when, as the body of Christ, those that believe step up and say, I am not going to tolerate people living in bondage. I love my family too much. I love my friends too much. I love my coworkers too much. I'm not going to stand by any longer. When I see the devil raise his ugly head, when I see spirits that are wicked holding people back and oppressing people's life and causing harassment in people's life, I'm going to speak up with the authority of Christ. And I'm going to say, go in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's a friend that's in your life right now. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's you. Maybe you need to self-deliver. But don't limit God, because God is still in the business of setting captives free. In one of Jesus' first ministry appearances, he read from the scroll of Isaiah, and he said, I have come to set the captives free, to bring liberation, right, to those that are in prison. And Jesus is still doing that thing. And God, he wants to partner with us. Jesus, he wants to partner with us so that we can be his hands and feet to the world around us. Would you bow your head with me? God, I thank you, Father, for this challenge that you're giving your church. I thank you, God, for this challenge that you're giving us, God, as believers. That we're not just to sit and go by life like everybody else, but we've been given this special power to set people free. What an important assignment. There's people that are held captive around us, and God, I thank you, Lord, that you would stir up a spirit that will not tolerate bondage. That will not tolerate bondage. God, I thank you, Father, for each and every one of us that's here. You meant us to hear this message. You meant us to be challenged. You meant us to step out. You meant us to be your hands and feet and help those that have been suffering year after year, season after season. God, you've called us to step up and say, go. Go. God, I thank you for the boldness. Your word says the righteous will be as bold as lions. God, I pray that you stir up boldness, God, that we'll say what we need to say when we need to say it. That we'll stand up for what's right and we won't tolerate what's wrong. And God, it's wrong when people are held captive. It's wrong when people are harassed by demons. It's wrong when the devil messes with people's finances and people's families and causes fractures in relationships and causes trouble in marriages. God, give us a spirit that does not tolerate the enemy. God, I thank you for that. And while we're praying, I just want to pray for those. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. My relationship, somehow I just kind of drifted away from God, and I need to reconnect with him. I know I need something real. I tried to do it and it kind of became religious or routine, but I need something real. I need Jesus to really walk with me. I need to really know him. Maybe you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you just need to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've been around religion, but you've never really committed. If that's you today, you say, I need to get back connected with Jesus. Or I need to connect with Jesus for the first time. Would you just slip up your hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what it's all about. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Say, I need to connect with God today. I need to reconnect with him. Amen. 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 Most important decision. Most important decision. If you lifted your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody, you can repeat this. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for wiping all my sins away. Thank you for giving me a fresh start. Jesus, I need you. Give me your strength. Give me your power. Give me your authority. Teach me how to walk with you. I need you. I need this to be real, like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.